Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, and who in Jesus Christ remains an overflowing fountain of good. Amen. And the Lord greets us, saying, Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ in the communion of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's continue our worship singing from Psalter 304, based on one of the Psalms, Psalter 304, stanza 1, 2, 6, and 7. And every song this service will refer to God's name, the name of the Lord. It's good that we can meet together for worship after all today, at least once. And we are privileged to read from Scripture as we worship this afternoon from Psalm 145. Psalm 145. The sermon will be on the first petition of the Lord's Prayer, where we pray, Hallowed be thy name. But let's look at Psalm 145, where the psalmist surely praises and exalts God's name. Psalm 145. I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee, and will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise your works to another, and shall declare your mighty acts. I will speak of the glorious honor of your majesty and of your wondrous works. And men shall speak of the might of your terrible or awesome acts, and I will declare your greatness. They shall abundantly utter the memory of your great goodness and shall sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. All your works shall praise you, O Lord, and your saints shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and talk of your power, to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord upholds all that fall and raises up all those that be bowed down. The eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat or food in due season. Thou openest thine hand and satisfies the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways, and holy in all his works. The Lord is near unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He also will hear their cry and will save them. The Lord preserves all them that love him, but all the wicked will he destroy. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless His holy name forever and ever. So far, the living word of our God, who lives and reigns forever. As I said, we will speak on this afternoon and think together on the prayer, Hallowed be Your name. And I'd like to look with you in connection with that in the Catechism, the teaching of our Reformed Fathers based on all of Scripture, their thought on that, what Scripture means, what the Lord Jesus meant by Hallowed be Thy name. You find it on page 84 in the back of the Psalter. In Lord's Day 47, question and answer 122. There you have the question. What is the first petition? Answer, Hallowed be Thy name. That is, grant us first rightly to know Thee, and to sanctify, glorify, and praise Thee in all Thy works, in which Thy power, wisdom, goodness, justice, mercy, and truth are clearly displayed. And further also, that we may so order and direct our whole lives, our thoughts, words, and actions, that Thy name may never be blasphemed, but rather honored and praised on our account. Well, let's sing to the praise of this God, Psalter 15, all the stanzas, Psalter 15. As Christian Church, along with Christians all across the world and over many centuries, we confess the great truths of the Christian faith as summarized in the Apostles' Creed. This is our confession also this afternoon. May it be yours too as we confess together. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried, which all can be summarized, He descended into hell. The third day He arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there He shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe in Holy Catholic, that is worldwide, Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let's now come to the Lord in prayer and ask for His blessing. Merciful and gracious God, how good it is that on this first day of a new week, we are still given this privilege to come together for worship, even with the weather the way it's been today and yesterday. And while quite a number of the church family can't come, we thank you for all who could come and that we may be here now. And as we are here together, we pray, O Lord, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Yes, Lord, bless us as we think about what this means, as Jesus taught us so to pray, with this request, with this petition. We pray, make it plain to us, and make it not just something we say, okay, I understand it, but make it to be our prayer, again and again, and our care in life, that your name be honored and hallowed and praised, and that our lives in no way bring shame and dishonor to your name, to your cause, to your church and kingdom. Lord, we give thanks for your mercies to us. We think of the weather and how many people have been affected negatively by the weather, some stranded for hours. And even we have read of accidents where life has been taken. Oh Lord, help us to be thankful for traveling mercies every time again. And we pray also that after tonight we may arrive safely at our homes. And Lord, we pray for those who have to work in these conditions. We think especially of the emergency personnel and the police and ambulance staff. We pray help them and remember us, Lord. Grant that also these storms may humble man, also the city of Calgary, that we may realize our smallness really, and that we may be a humble people before you, the God of creation, the God of providence, and the God of salvation. We pray this afternoon for your blessing upon each one here. We think of the children, the young people. We think of every person, every couple, every single person. Lord, remember each one according to their needs. Be with those who would have loved to come but were not able. We think especially too of Sister Jeanette Miller. We pray for her, Lord. And we ask for your blessing and care and help for her and her circumstances of life. We pray too for Paul Kirkkonen in the hospital. Humanly speaking, on his deathbed, we do not know how long he will give him, but Lord, remember him, and we give thanks that his comfort is in looking to you and trusting you, also in the valley of the shadow of death. We pray this afternoon for Christians who suffer for your namesake, and we pray this afternoon especially for Christians also in Sudan. We think of that country which this week is going through an election, hopefully to peacefully become two countries, North Sudan, Muslim-controlled, and South Sudan, led by Christians. Oh God, we pray that there will not be bloodshed or civil war or persecution of Christians in the North who may want to move to the South. We pray have mercy upon the people there and bless Christians in that land. And not only there, but all over the world. Help your people, Lord, also in times of trouble and struggle. And help us, O Lord, in this land of freedom and so many things that we can enjoy of this life. Help us not to become deterred from what is our main calling, namely to seek and serve you and to honor you above all. Help us to have our priorities right in life. Forgive us when we don't. And bless your word also, even of this afternoon, that we may remember what is to be our priority and that we may pray and live accordingly. We ask for strength in preaching. We ask for strength in listening. Keep away things which can distract us. Lord, you know each family. You know family needs and challenges. And surely they're there in every household. And we pray for strength and wisdom for parents. We pray for submission and love from youth to parents. We pray for your guiding hand on each and all of us. We ask for a special blessing for next week, O Lord, when Dr. Beeky hopes to come for this conference. We pray that all the plans will be able to become actuality. We think too of the weather this weekend. We pray that next weekend the weather may be cooperative for people to travel to attend the conference, and also for Dr. Beeke himself to come, and that you will bless him and also join Christians in this city also by means of this conference. Lord, will you cause your kingdom to come? Will you hallow your name here in Calgary or through your people, also seeking to honor your word and its truth in every aspect of life? We confess our sins before you, Lord. Forgive us our sins. We've started a new year and we've maybe made resolutions to fight the good fight and to be faithful and true, and we've failed already so many times. And we pray, forgive us our sins, and thank you that through the blood of Jesus we may have forgiveness and cleansing and renewal time and again. And help us, Lord, not to become discouraged then, but to go on ever looking to Jesus and following after him step by step. Lord, hear our prayer. Guide us now by your Holy Spirit, accompanying us, we pray, and make this time together a blessed time. We pray this all for Jesus' sake alone. Amen. Opportunity to worship the Lord with your offerings, and then we will sing together Psalter 309 following the prayer. Thank you, Lord, that this too may be part of worship as we give of our first fruits. We pray, receive this offering in the name of the Lord Jesus and bless it for good, for the furtherance of your church and kingdom here in Calgary and across the globe. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In response to the preaching, let's sing from Psalter 306, Praise God, ye servants of the Lord, praise his name with one accord, based on Psalm 113. Continuing with our study on the Lord's Prayer, dear congregation belonging to Christ, this time we have before us the first petition, the first request made in that prayer that Jesus taught his disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, Jesus said, we are to pray. What do you think about this opening request and petition in prayer. In studying what Jesus all intended with this request, what I hope becomes very clear is that this is a most special way to begin coming with our requests to God. This is a wonderful opening request to make before Him. It is a petition that gives so much reason, congregation, to say, what a Savior Jesus Christ is. What a Savior of sinners. So God-focused in all His teaching, but also so very understanding of us, you and me, in our lives, as Christians also, in this world. My prayer is that the very study of this first petition will result in you and I praying this petition with heart and lip sincere. Not just today, but over and over in our lives. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We will think about the meaning of this petition, its message to us, the marks of praying it, and the marvel of being given this privilege to pray this. So let's do what we need to do first of all and try to come to an understanding of the meaning of this request. What does hallow mean? It's not a word that we use very often. I don't think any of us use it in our vocabulary during the week, in our lives, otherwise. To hallow comes from a Greek word which means to sanctify, to make holy, to purify, to set apart for special consideration and dedication. In Exodus 20, you have, with the fourth commandment, you have the word hallow also come up, where God calls us to remember the Sabbath day and to keep it holy. You know that fourth commandment? And at the end of that commandment it says, wherefore God blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. In other words, God, He set that day aside to be wholly dedicated to His praise and to His honor. But now Jesus says, when you pray, say, hallowed be thy name. His name here, I think, probably most of you will know this, refers to His whole being. All that God is. All that He is about in His works and ways. In the Bible, the name of God, the names of God are equivalent to God Himself. They're not just labels, they're descriptions of Him. God has many names in the Bible, and the glorious truth is, God is His names. God's name refers to His whole revelation of Himself in creation, in providence, and especially in the way of salvation through Jesus Christ the Savior. With Jesus Christ, we have the fullness of God's names revealed to us. The Lord is often referred to just by the word name. So in Psalm 8, which we sang from, you have the phrase, not once, but twice, to the praise of God. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. That means thy person, thy being. In Psalm 145, 2, which we read, the psalmist is saying in verse 1 and 2, I will extol thee, O God, my King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. And ever. And when he says that, what he's saying really is, he will praise and honor God for who He is and for everything about Him. He wants to praise God as He's worthy to be praised. So he says, I will extol your name in my life. So already now you should have a clearer understanding of the meaning, hallowed be thy name. With this first request Jesus taught us to pray, He is saying, Come to God the Father in my name and pray to Him, requesting that God's name, His being, in other words, His works, His cause, be honored and magnified and praised and exalted as is His due. Yes, not just by yourself, but by others too. All over the world. And by all of us, whenever and with whatever and wherever. Hallowed be thy name. That means, Lord, let your name be given its proper due, not only in heaven above, but also here on earth. Indeed, Lord, beginning with me, even so work in me and through me, that your name be praised, and that more and more so, by more and more people too. What is so important, congregation, to understand with this first petition is that it's not just a word of greeting of sorts to God, or a pious wish of sorts, or a polite statement, or like a salute of sorts before God. No, no. Here the Lord Jesus is saying, when you begin prayer, begin with saying, hallowed be your name. And he meant it as a request that we ask, Lord, let your name, let your being be exalted in my life and in all of life. He's saying here, let's get off on the right foot, as it were, and put first things first. And so Jesus says, begin this way with prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed, honored, magnified, exalted, sanctified be thy name. And the verb form that Jesus uses is so instructive. For it's a verb form that literally translates, Lord, let be hallowed thy name. In other words, here we are called to ask, Lord, please work in us and bless us and stay with us and guide us, that in all our lives, in whatever we are about, this for sure be the case, that God's name always be honored and praised. What Jesus does then, congregation, in this first petition is have us be God-focused, first of all. But he does so in a way that shows he so well knows our need for divine help in this. Isn't that encouraging? And he invites us then, because he knows we need so much divine help in this, he invites us to make this our prayer, time and again. Hallowed be thy name, O Lord, O Father in heaven. You see, this petition shows very much what you and I need to be most about. And Jesus' understanding that of ourselves, by nature as sinners, we are not able to be so God-focused. God knows that. I know some of you, you've shared, you fail so much to be God-focused. Jesus knows that. So he says, let your first petition be, help me to be God-focused. Hallowed be thy name. Jesus here teaches us what is all important and how we can live accordingly by prayer to God. Here also we can make some more sense now of the Catechism's teaching when it gives the following explanation concerning this first petition. Hallowed be thy name. That means grant us first rightly to know thee and to sanctify, glorify, and praise thee in all thy works, in which thy power, wisdom, goodness, justice, mercy, and truth are clearly displayed. And further also, that we may so order and direct our whole lives, our thoughts, words, and actions, that thy name may never be blasphemed, but rather be honored and praised on our account. You agree, don't you? What this explanation amounts to is, Lord, shall I and others truly honor and reverence your name, as Jesus calls for it, help us truly to know thee then as Creator God and as the God of providence and the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so to value and prize how great thou art in all respects, in all thy attributes, in all thy ways. And help us, Lord, to see and to know and to show others what a God you promised to be to us and for us, in and through Jesus Christ especially. And grant, Lord, that I personally, and many others too, may seek and serve thee in no way ever bringing discredit to your name. No, but cause us always and again your name to glorify, to honor, to praise. Let your name be honored by me and through me and by and through all who confess to be Christians. So with this short explanation about the meaning of this petition, do you understand it a little bit better? What it means in practice, let me illustrate now, just briefly, in two ways. First, with Psalm 145, and then just from Jesus himself. Notice in Psalm 145, which we read, how it begins with a personal prayer to praise and honor the Lord's name. I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. We read that. The psalm begins with that personal prayer and desire. So to praise and honor the Lord's name. And then, notice how the psalm goes on to express how the psalmist will do this wholeheartedly. And why too? And it ends with the express desire that seeing the goodness and the glory of God, His worthiness, that all would hallow His name. That's His desire in this psalm. The last verse of the psalm is very striking, where we see the psalm in meditation on God and His character and His ways, lifted up to the exclamation at the end, "My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless His name forever and ever." You see, there's such a desire here on the psalmist's part for God's honor and praise. Do you have that same desire? That same longing? Do you pray for it continually? Lord, that Your name be hallowed in my life and through my life and all confessing Christians. Do you pray for that continually? You and I won't have it as a burning passion in our lives if we don't regularly and earnestly ask the Lord once and again, "Hallowed be thy name." Isn't that true? The non-Christian, the unbeliever, doesn't hallow God's name at all. The Christian does and wants to. And the Christian knows without the quickening and the reviving power of the Holy Spirit initially and continually in our lives, our passion for God and for His honor and glory, it can dry up within seconds. You know that's true in your own life as a Christian. But you see, God is faithful, and He's looking to Him and praying as Jesus instructs. We can be made alive, and we can be kept alive in living a life for God and for His praise and for His honor. And as the years go by, that doesn't have to decrease. It can increase. Oh, I pray as the years go by, also in my life, that desire for God and His honor not decrease, but increase. This is also the promising response of Jesus, trusting Him and saying, "Hallowed be thy name before God the Father." Without Him we can do nothing. But as Paul says in Philippians 4:13, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." That is, I can begin and grow and keep growing in hallowing His name. Yes, through Christ Jesus. And just notice with me how He prayed. It's a second way to show this prayer in practice. How Jesus Himself prayed when He teaches us to pray. When He says, "Hallowed be thy name." Do you hear Christ speak plainly in John 17:1? "Father, glorify thy Son, that thy Son may glorify thee." Jesus asks there that His Father be all that He promised to be for His Son, Jesus. That Jesus in turn might be all that God, His Father, would have Him to be. And that He would magnify His Father and His name and do His good will as He was called to do. And Jesus prayed the same, "Hallowed be thy name," as it were, when He was in the dark shadows of Gethsemane and before the cross. He said, we are told in John 12:27-28, "Now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name," He says. And then we read the Lord saying, "I have glorified your name and I will continue to glorify it." For you see, Jesus most and always wanted to glorify God's name. And God the Father would glorify His Son's name. And for Jesus to seek most the honor of God's name, and for God the Father to seek most the honor and glory of Jesus' name, It meant for Jesus the way of suffering and death, as He, as the just for the unjust, would lay down His life, His perfect righteous life, as a sacrifice for sin in the place of sinners like us. It's moving to think, congregation. It's very moving to think about this. How that God hallowed His name most fully in the saving work of Christ on behalf of sinners. And that Jesus was so willing that even to that extent God's name truly be hallowed. Surely now we hallow, you and I, we hallow God's name best and most when trusting and entrusting ourselves again and again to Jesus Christ as only Savior and Lord, always seeking to hear and to follow His word and will, and entrusting ourselves to His saving work on sinners' behalf. Jesus says, when you pray, say, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Do you understand with me now something more of the meaning of this petition? Is it a petition you make time and again in your life? Turning now from the meaning of this petition, let's think more of its message. And the message of this petition is both humbling and heartwarming. It's humbling, congregation, in the sense that with this petition, Jesus teaches us, doesn't He, how great is our sin and misery of ourselves. Of ourselves, we are incapable of any saving good. We are incapable of hallowing, honoring God's name. Do you know that about yourself? Do you confess that sin and sinfulness has so taken a hold of you, of yourself? Is this a grievous shortcoming in your life that you bring before God in the way of true and daily repentance? Lord, I've been made to glorify You, and I don't do that by myself. I don't hallow Your name as I ought to. This week I spoke with someone who actually literally was weeping. Because as a Christian, he was a Christian, he felt so much how much he fails to hallow God's name. He wants to, but feels so much as shortcoming. This petition, this first petition, congregation, brings out, doesn't it, the real need for the saving and the sanctifying work of Christ Jesus through His Word and Spirit in each and all of our lives. And this first petition, too, is so saturated with the person and work of Christ. For it is alone in and through Him and His once for all sacrifice, His shed blood, that we can begin to hallow God's name and grow in doing so. And here comes the heartwarming note with this petition. I love this, really, to think of this. It's not only humbling, but it's heartwarming. For obviously, the Lord Jesus knows our frame, congregation. He knows our frame. He remembers that we are helpless and sinful in and of ourselves. And so He calls us to look to His Father, to be enabled and motivated and directed in hallowing His name as it ought to be hallowed. What is so heartwarming here is not only Jesus' sympathetic understanding of us in our inabilities, in our sinfulness still, but He's so encouraging in the sense of there is hope for us. We can bring our sins and sinfulness to the Lord, to God our Father, and He will have mercy on us. And through Christ, make us new creatures and give us renewed desires and aims so that we no longer can live in sin and no longer can enjoy not hallowing God's name. For the Christian, you fall, you falter, but a Christian comes back to God every time saying, Lord, please, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Work in my life that my life be honoring to You and not dishonoring. A true Christian cannot live daily dishonoring God's name. Becomes a grief and a sorrow. And you bring it to God. And you say, Oh, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Let be Thy name hallowed in my life. Oh God, bless me so. Further, what is so heartwarming with this first petition is that in prayer, Jesus would have us start off, congregation, on a right path that can lead to more and more blessing. What I mean here is, You and I, with the creation of Adam and Eve, we were made to glorify God. We were made to enjoy Him and to glorify Him, His names, and everything about Him. And it's only as we so live that we live to the fullest and really live to God's praise and live our potential. Now, sin took that perspective away. But through Christ Jesus, we regain this perspective and we can begin again to have this highest priority in life that makes sense for life and that gives meaning to life and purpose and promise. If you don't have this matter in order, all life remains a matter of disorder and dismay, really, and finally. But seeking first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, all these things shall be added unto you, the other things of life. We have the Dr. Beakey conference coming this week, Lord willing, and I'm reading right now the devotional Milk and Honey, and the first month is by Dr. Beakey, and he has a 5 days, I think, on the text in the beginning, God. And he says on January 5, when God becomes primary in our plans, situations often change. Difficulties even seem impossibilities. They're overcome by Him, through Him. Doubts are dissipated. Deliverance is received when we bring it to God. If we get that desire first, hallowed be your name, other things fall into place. That's the point here. If you put God first, everything else falls into place. If you won't put Him first and put His honor above all, everything else is out of place. And you will find that out. And if there's no change in your life, you will be forever displaced one day, according to Scripture. Well, this is the gospel truth. And therefore I say, how gracious and how kind-hearted, how good and wise and loving of the Lord Jesus, instructing us to have this first priority first in all of life. Also in our prayers. Lord, grant that Thy name may be hallowed in us and through us and by us. The message of the first petition is that the Savior is so good, congregation, in instructing us to pray as He does in this first petition. Do you see with me how encouraging this is? A Savior who wants nothing but the best for us and has opened the way that we might receive it freely and fully and repeatedly, and who even stoops to teach us how to come into and to walk and to live in His gospel way. Well, that's surely the best and most wonderful Savior there ever could be. Wouldn't you say? Let me ask this question to you then. Do you love Jesus for the first petition He teaches us to pray? We should so thank Him for this first petition. It shows so much love and understanding and patience that He teaches us. This is how you should pray. Do you also pray this petition for yourself? Is this petition reflected in your prayers and in your life? Or is it not a part of your life, this petition? Hallowed be your name. It's right to say, I think, that every true believer realizes the need to pray, hallowed be your name. And is so thankful to God that we may so pray to Him over and over again, in fact. It surely shows when this petition is a real cry of your and my heart in prayer, or when it is not. And saying that brings me now to our next point, moving from the meaning of this request and its message to the marks of sincerely praying it, yes or no. And I'd like to just bring out three distinct marks which become evident when praying this first petition in spirit and truth. For sure, for one thing, then you care about the truths about God and His Word. And you have an interest to know God according to His Word, and to have a right understanding of Him in truth. Think about it. You can't and you won't hallow God's name if you are scripturally, doctrinally indifferent and will not be zealous for the truth as revealed in the Holy Bible and is explained and outlined also in the great confessions of the Reformation, when the church returned back to the Bible. Paul warns often in his epistles about those who were spreading error and not careful to maintain sound doctrine. And he says how they in fact actually were working against the cause and the name of the Lord, rather than in promotion of it. Truly honoring God's name and caring to do so comes with a heart and increasing understanding and reliance upon God as He is in truth. And what He is all about in truth. The Psalm 145, which we read, talks about calling upon the Lord in truth. Calling upon Him in truth and respecting the truth about God are fundamental, congregation, to true praise of Him and His name and the hallowing of His name. And the psalm that we read, Psalm 145, gives many characteristics of God and speaks of Him as Savior God. You can check it yourself when you read it again. As Savior God, as Creator God, you find that in that psalm, and also as God of providence, the God who cares for the whole universe and guides all things. You'll find that all in the psalm. In the Catechism too, we are taught, as the psalm also reflects, about God in His characteristics. Six characteristics were mentioned in the Catechism explanation about hallowing God's name. And it brings out how we are to know God in truth. And the characteristics tell of His perfections, His infinite beauty. The Catechism mentions God's power, His wisdom, His goodness, His justice, His mercy, and His truth as key characteristics of God, telling us what a great God is the God of the Bible, the God of all history, the only true God. In our prayer meetings, we are studying A.W. Pink's book on the attributes, the characteristics of God. It's a good little study. In our youth meetings, we're having a study on the attributes of God. To know God as He's revealed in the Word. It's key to honoring Him and hallowing His name as is His due. We live in times generally where emphasis on the truths of God's Word and about God Himself and the importance of right doctrine is not valued very much. I think we all know that. But we must take care, if we will be faithful in truly hallowing God's name, not to fall into that trap and that trend of our times. Doctrinal correctness is not negative towards true Christianity and towards a zealous testimony to His praise and honor. It's in fact basic to it. Doctrinal precision, biblical faithfulness. As someone put it, mindless Christianity is spineless Christianity, with no backbone and no substance. We don't want to be promoting that, for then we won't be honoring and hallowing God's name. No. Doctrinally faithful Christianity results in steadfastly devoted lives for God and to His honor. When those doctrines are not just in the head, but in the heart, and you want to honor God as He's revealed in His Word. And the more you know how He's revealed in His Word, the more you say, hallowed be Your name, O God, in this world of so much evil and sin. But we must add here, another important mark when truly hallowing God's name is that then you don't only care about truly knowing the Savior and the gospel truths of grace, but also then you will care about showing His grace and love in your life and living accordingly. True Christianity is balanced Christianity, where there's a holding to the doctrines of grace, while at the same time a showing of the grace of the doctrines. I was hoping to preach this morning on 1 Thessalonians again, showing how the Thessalonians were a people who lived the faith. And they loved the doctrines of grace, but they showed it so much in their lives, in a way that Paul says, they're an example to us. A great example. When you truly pray, hallowed be Thy name, this is my point, you don't only care to know the truth about God, but you care to show it too, and to live it out in all your life, in your thoughts, words, and deeds. Then you care about the life of sanctification, and being holy and godly, and not as little as possible, but as much as possible, and more so as time goes on, and not less and less so. Well, is that how you aim to live and seek to live, each one here? Godly, faithful, sanctified lives, reflecting God's grace. Truly praying, "Hallowed be thy name," is reflected in a careful walk before God, with Scripture as your guide, and with a real concern not to become worldly, but to be a light in this world, and as a salt against all the moral decay. To see this more, just imagine or just think of, it's probably not hard to do, think of someone praying, "Hallowed be thy name," and then living in open defiance and sin against any one of God's commandments. The two just don't go together. You know it. People who pray, "Hallowed be thy name," and then live in sin and ungodliness in any respect, bring dishonor to God's name and cause His name not to be praised, but instead to be despised and scorned. You know what Nathan said to David with his sin of adultery and murder? "You have given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme." That was said of David when he lived in sin. Are you, maybe anyone here, living in a way that you're not taking care to order and direct your whole life in hallowed living in accordance with God's word and will and in likeness to Jesus Himself? In 1 John 3, we read that everyone who has the hope of the gospel in him truly purifies himself as Christ is pure. It is such evident in your life and mine. Do we care about this? Every Christian does. And a third mark yet, congregation, that shows truly praying this first petition. It does not only mean desiring to know God truthfully and to reflect God in our lives, really, but it also means wanting that others come to know this God, that they too be directed to Him and brought to Him, that His name be honored not just by yourself, but by so many more. Yes, that you surrender all of self to this all-time goal and purpose, that His name be made known throughout the earth and extolled by many, many more. Then you live your life that God's name be hallowed by others as well. And you don't want to live a life that actually causes people to turn away from God. And so then the friends that you choose, the free time you have, the money you earn, the music you listen to, the things you see and read, what you watch on television, the schoolwork you have, the daily jobs you do, the life partner that you pursue, the words you speak, the hobbies you have, the purchase you make, with all of it you say, "Lord, let your name be hallowed. Let me not do anything that in conflict with that in all my life. Let your name be hallowed by me and through me with all things, and cause that more and more come to seek and to serve you also in the way I live and in the witness I may give. By your grace, let me never choose something above hallowing thy name, or where hallowing thy name just doesn't fit in with it." Is this also the godly passion and practice of you and me? Again, Dr. Beakey from the same meditation. Are you seeking to bow to the primacy of God in every sphere of your life? Is your limited time, your limited money, your limited energy devoted to the will of God, to the honor of God, we could say? Do you really want to live by the principle, "In the beginning God," and I would paraphrase now, do you really want to live by the prayer, "Hallowed be thy name"? Hallowed be thy name. If you think about it, this prayer is a call for missions, to make the saving name of God known to all men everywhere. It's a call to worship, to join the congregation in confessing God's name. It's a call to personal Christian living, reflecting God's glory in words and deeds that honor Him. It's a call to Christian witness to honor God's name actively in all areas of life. Well, will you and I so take care to hallow God's name? Are you in some way purposely, actually, knowingly not hallowing God's name? A Christian life is marked by this: knowing God truly and wanting to know Him truly, showing God really and wanting to show Him really, and desiring that He be known and honored more and more by more and more also through your life. Well, when we think of all these things, don't you see too how much reason for this prayer as time goes on? Even the holiest believer has but a small beginning in hallowing God's name here on earth. But this is the marvel now. Our last point, very briefly, the marvel of this petition. As we have thought about its meaning and its message and the marks of praying it, we end yet thinking of the marvel with praying to the Lord in Jesus' name. Hallowed be thy name. The result is, congregation, the result is indeed God will take care that you increasingly do so. And that one day, yes, in glory to come, you will do so in perfection. And that forevermore. Oh, that's the marvel truly of God's grace and the power of His saving work in and through Jesus Christ. Praying, hallowed be thy name in faith is not a vain petition. It's not just a tipping of the hat. It's a prayer God will hear. And those who pray it in spirit and truth, they are led on by God through His Spirit and Word so to live in small ways and other ways, always seeking to glorify God and His name, His honor, above everything else in life, having that as their goal. And the wonderful marvel is, yes, as I said, while we have many shortcomings here, the Christian has the future outlook that in the world to come, we will perfectly hallow God's name forever and ever. Let the gladness of that perfect day spur you on now in prayer and much prayer, saying, hallowed be thy name. Especially also when you think of the sadness of the alternative. If you won't pray this prayer, you know what it means? It means you live in defiance of God's name. You live in rebellion against God's name. Is that what you want? Will you be a rebel? Will you continue in sin? Oh, God forbid. Hallowed be thy name. It's the most beautiful and gracious and fitting opening petition aimed to set us off in right paths, congregation, in our prayers before God. And because of Jesus Christ and Him crucified and risen and Himself sitting at God's right hand, it is a petition that may and will be answered even exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Oh, hallowed be thy name. That is, as one wrote, let all confess thy name and know the wonders thou hast done. Let all adore thee, God supreme, and own thee, God alone. While heaven and all who dwell on high to thee their voices raise, let the whole earth assist the sky and join to advance thy praise. Yes, beginning with me, O God, for Jesus' sake, glorify thy name in and through me more than anything else. This I ask of thee. Well, will this be your plea today and for as long as life shall last? Isn't that how Jesus taught us to pray? Saying, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Amen. Psalter 306. give thanks. Lord, thank you so much that the first petition is, hallowed be thy name. A prayer where we acknowledge that we cannot honor your name of ourselves. What a prayer that Jesus teaches us we may bring to the Father, and he will take care also in our lives that God's name be honored. Lord, thank you for this prayer. Help us to pray it often, and may it be reflected in our lives that we pray this prayer and that we care so much that God be honored as is his due, as only Creator God, as only God of providence, guiding this whole world, having the whole world in his hands, and as the one true God of salvation through Jesus Christ the Savior. Thank you that your name is most hallowed in the revelation of Jesus Christ and him crucified, and the call for sinners to come to him, and for your people to keep coming to him for all our salvation. And we know that in the day of days, every knee shall bow, and all will confess his name as above every other name. But how terrible it will be for those unsaved then. But how wonderful for those saved. O Lord, save us all. And cause us to live that others too become saved. And that more hallow your name. So bless us, Lord. And so bless this word. Thank you that we could be together for this worship. Let it too be to your praise and for the hallowing of your name. Hear our prayer. Bring us safely home as we already pray. And bless us in this week to come. Strengthen us in our responsibilities that we may hallow your name in all that we think, say, and do. At home, at work, at school, whatever we do, Lord, be with us and guide us and enable us to honor and praise your name and to exhort others so to live as well. So bless us, we pray, for Jesus' sake alone. Amen. Psalter 375, let's sing all the stanza, and then Doxology 196, standing following the benediction. Receive now the Lord's parting blessing as you go from here. Hear the triune God say as you go into this new week, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the communion of the Holy Spirit be and remain with you all, that you may hallow His name in all your ways, always. Amen.